first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Football Pubcast, show number 99.
Welcome back.
Obviously, there is plans afoot for next week's 100th show. It's fair to say we've got some quite extravagant plans, haven't we?
They include a summer World Cup single, Coxon?
They include sitting in a pub recording another show, which we're going to do nothing amazing for. It's just going to be a standard show.
I think Harry Redknapp might be putting in a guest appearance.
I bloody hope so, yeah.
And Nelson Mandela, the other impression I can do.
You can't do Harry Redknapp. Right, round the table, we've got Michael Coxon.
Hello.
AKA Harry Redknapp and Nelson Mandela. We've got Sean Miller.
Hi.
We've got Mr. Daniel Silva, and we've got Jerome Mundell and myself, Jim Staples.
Let's talk football.
First of all, 99. If anyone thinks of 1999, what do they think of in terms of football? We won't ask Mike for a minute.
No. Let's ask Mike first, because that will lead us on to my foot.
I remember a glorious bygone day when on the last day of the season we beat Tottenham at home. Those were the days.
Well, I think if you're thinking 99, think of the Champions League.
I was making the relevant point, but obviously the treble stands out, as does, unfortunately, Man City versus Gillingham.
Yeah, not the only great comeback as well. Not the only great comeback that season, to be fair.
I was watching that in a branch of Curry's.
Really?
Yeah.
Piking
yeah.
up.
For half night.
How do you remember you were watching that in a branch of Curry's?
Couldn't afford Sky.
No, exactly.
I remember where I was for all the big games at the end of that season. So
Dixon's, Argos, one of them. Yeah, just going around the tables.
It's not like Sean supports Man City or Gillingham.
He was probably just out and it was on. Yeah.
Mum was buying a new TV, so I thought I'd sit there.
Was she buying Sky?
Do you mind if we sit here for the next 90 minutes?
Yeah.
It wasn't 90 minutes, it was 95, that's the point.
Yeah.
I'm still bitter a little bit about that. But
no, it was more than that one, no? It was 120 plus penalties.
Well, but Gillingham were. The score after 89 minutes was Gillingham 2, Man City 0. And then Housie put up 5 minutes of stoppage time, which doesn't sound like much now, but in 98-99, it was before this 30 seconds for a sub, 36 for a goal, before all that came in. Stoppage time back then was 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It just was standard. 5 minutes was like, oh my god.
Luckily, Mark Halsey hasn't done anything controversial since.
So. Yeah. Well, to be fair, he hasn't given Man City much since, to be honest, according to their fans. But anyway, we could talk about that all day. Let's go. Let's leave 1999. Let's come into the present day. Dan Silva, thoughts from Spurs at the weekend?
It was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah. Discuss.
It was a wonderful first half performance where we absolutely slaughtered them. I knew exactly what was happening in the second half. I knew it's, and the commentator said, first 15 minutes is crucial, second half, and as soon as, within 5 minutes, we conceded, and I literally thrust wobbly, thought, well, here we go, we're going to lose 3-2, 4-2, 5-2, who knows. Classic Spurs, classic United.
I was travelling back because it was the evening Saturday game, wasn't it? I was travelling back from watching the Gilles game. So the goals, there was another 3 goals in like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
3 goals were
absolutely.
So what it was, and the thing was, I was watching it on, I was streaming it through my TV.
Should have just gone to Dixon's.
Yeah, exactly.
Should have gone to Dixon's, but they made so obviously we've scored.
Should have gone to Dixon's. That's the title for the show. Dixon's. Done.
Yeah. So we've obviously we've scored. They've scored, and I'm thinking, shit, it's all like here we go, comeback's on. 30 seconds later, we've gone down the other end and scored. I'm celebrating. As I'm celebrating, I'm on Twitter as well, tweeting about the game as well. I'm still celebrating at 3-1. I've refreshed Twitter, and Stan Collymore's come up with 3-2.
Oh,
because
no.
I'm 30 seconds behind because I'm streaming it. I'm thinking,
should have gone to Dixon's. That's what you were thinking.
It's
the place to be.
Caught up.
Sod your 3D bars and your public places, the sports bar. Dixon's.
And at 3-2, again, we held on for a 2-goal lead for 30 seconds. I thought, here we go, it's going to end up silly score again. But somehow, very unlike Spurs, held on for 6
big
for
result
minutes.
For Spurs as well. I like what he said as well after. He was just like, look, the players, It's not about me. It wasn't about me when we were losing. It's the players.
It's the players. Coverage backside. Yeah.
Mike, what was your thoughts on it?
Well, the first
defense
half
is just looking rubbish.
The first half was the worst I can remember us playing at Old Trafford. I can't think of a time when we played worse, including the 6-1 with City and the 4-1 with Liverpool. So at least in those games, what fight? The fact we didn't have a shot in the first half was obscene. I mean, second half was best we played all season. It was ridiculous. Rooney changed game and again last night.
And Scholesy dropped off a little bit deeper.
The problem in the first half, we had Van Persie who doesn't get stuck into the game like that. He was isolated up front. We had Giggs, who these days, unfortunately, is a passenger. Yeah. Kagawa again is not playing.
Giggs is the passenger these days.
Well, he is. It's unfortunate.
Well, in a midfield with him and Scholes up against Dembele and
you need Anderson or Cleverley in there, not Carrick.
Yeah. Sandro is an absolute beast.
Monster.
It's no
Dembele.
Yeah. No disrespect to my Carrick, but you need someone who run around like Cleverley or Anderson or Fletcher, who will put in the bit of tenacity, the bit of graft.
Yeah.
But
a couple of great passes from Van Persie for two goals, though. But
I mean, it was frustrating.
Scored,
last night, again, there was the defensive errors. And Patrice Evra, I've been saying for the last two, three seasons,
he's lost it, hasn't he?
We need to give Alex Boutner a run out because he's looked great the two games he's played. And Evra just...
Who's Evra, apart from Hines, who's been the competition for Evra?
Hines? Baked beans?
Hines. Well, there were 57 of him.
Yeah.
But... it was Ainsa, and then it went on to being John O'Shea and Silvestre, who was still there. John,
so he hasn't.
Right. And then Fabio De Silva, who was looking very good but got injured quite a lot and isn't really a left back. So there hasn't, and that's been the problem. And even now we've got competition, he hasn't upped his game, and that's why I think Boutner deserves to go. We've got young lads like Robbie Brady, who's not technically a left back but has played very well there in pre-season.
I mean, Evra honestly looks like he's lost the plot a little bit.
The worst thing is he's the one that always comes out and says, oh, we need to improve, we need to start the game. But in 10 minutes last night he'd given a goal away.
But it was defence and attack, because he used to have the pace.
About 18 months he was probably the best left back in the world.
Absolutely. But then, I mean, I was in the game last night, I remember he's one-on-one with the left back and you're thinking, go on, skin him, and he's just sort of kicked the ball half a yard forward, gotten across it, and the fullback's just stuck a leg out and blocked it. Like, how easy was that?
Frustrating, but fair play to Spurs. They came out of the blocks firing, they caught us on the counter, and then I thought second half most of the Spurs team looked a bit nervous and scared, but Gallas and Corker at the back were brilliant and they really kept Spurs in the game.
And Friedel.
I don't think Friedel had too much to do in he was a reassuring force at the back.
I think the difference was, though, a couple of fizzers, the shots that were put in, Friedel held. There was a couple of good strikes that he held, as opposed to Lindegaard, who parried Bale's shot
straight back into the
back. What's the situation with goalkeepers at your place?
The problem is David De Gea, every time he's played, has pulled off some great saves. I think he made one mistake against Fulham, which has done him in. And at the same time, Lindegaard hasn't really made any mistakes, but De Gea is clearly a better goalkeeper.
Okay, we've been talking too long about one game. Let's move on. To be fair, Liverpool did a bit.
Give me my moment.
Yeah. You've had your moment.
Let's talk about United versus Cluj last night.
People listen to our show. That could be a full stop there. People actually do listen to our show. People don't listen to our show to hear about Spurs Man U for 10 minutes. They want
to
hear...
We're 8 minutes in. So.
Well, a little rundown of results. It was going to be 10 minutes.
Okay, but Liverpool, I feel bad for Luis Suarez, and I never thought I'd say that, because that elbow... God, that was ridiculous.
Still, they got a result.
It's getting to the stage now. I understand that players who die earn a reputation.
A game of opinions. Fergie came out and said, it's the foreigners that...
Talking about United.
No, we're one of mugging them off. He's got Ashley Young in his squad.
Although, to be fair, I did see a good point on the Guardian website that even though, yes, there are Welbeck and Young who are terrible, if you made a list of the 10 worst divers, the only Englishman that arguably you'd put in there of all time was Franny Lee. The United ones, yes, we've had some terrible times and it is frustrating, but Fergie's point is correct. It has been introduced by more of a foreign influence.
Yeah, but it's now it was
sponsored by the Daily Mail.
Nobody ever calls me right wing, please. I'm a left-footed player.
It was introduced.
Fucking hell, you're a passenger. Geeks is a passenger. All left-footed players are passengers, according to this. Go on, what were you going to say?
No, it was brought in by foreigners, but it's very much now been.
It's getting to be a national problem.
Been
yeah.
accepted by England.
A national problem.
It is.
I don't think they need to start talking about in Parliament.
Hey, what's
not a national
what
problem?
Do you think the riots were about last summer? The amount of lads I saw on Clapham High Street going down, clutching their faces.
How
have we got onto the London riots from the game? Good win for Liverpool. Shall we all agree on that? And move slowly on. The other thing, Everton. They didn't even play that well.
But they were playing at home to Southampton.
Yeah, Southampton, Southampton will get a result on
Saturday.
They've
got a point,
have
they?
Yeah, they got a win.
They beat us.
That's
right.
They smashed them. To be fair, though. Yeah, but I mean,
coin chips into the goal.
All right, so let's have your stand-out performances and stand-down performances from the week. So you can have the weekend results, or obviously there was a load of football last week as well. So someone jump in with it.
I'm actually going to say Luis Suarez for his hat-trick. Well, he's got two hat-tricks against...
Not Aston Villa for getting a point at home to their bigger rivals.
It's always nice when you get something off a bigger team, isn't it?
It's nice. It's nice for one of the smaller teams to get a result.
It's fine.
There's a lot of aggression today around this table today, and I don't know why.
This is great. I would say my standout performance of the week has to be Glasgow Celtic last night.
That was a great performance.
A brilliant result for that.
Just go back to Jay quickly, because you're having Suarez, right?
I'm Suarez.
And let's go back to the video game. Why Darren Bent? Why is he on the bench? Darren Bent doesn't know, by all accounts, why he's starting on the bench.
To be honest, he's not had a great start.
Okay, he's dropped him as captain and now dropped him to the bench. He came on and he looked like the only one that was going to score.
I think the thing is, the game before you'd beaten Man City 4-2 in the cup, hadn't you?
Yeah.
And Benteke and Agbonlahor looked really good really up front. Good,
yeah. So he gave him a chance.
Gareth Barry looked good up front from that game.
What great
finish.
I just think that
Apart from the captain thing, he's looking to rotate his strikers. He's got a few strikers in, so if Ben is captain and is on the bench, he can't have that. He's got to have a solid sort of captain that's going to be there week in, week out. So I don't mind.
Ben's
I don't see Darren Bent as a captain.
He's not a captain.
So we've got Suarez as one standout. You're having Celtic.
Although, to be fair, I've thought of another European minnow that won last night, which was Bate Borisov over Bayern Munich.
What a result. 3-1, a tonking.
Yeah. The thing is for Celtic as well, the fact that they were leading and then to go behind. And in that atmosphere, I've been to the ground as well, it's where England lost out in Moscow when we were winning at half time, and I think they brought Pavlyuchenko came on and scored, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Scored a hat trick. Well, scored twice anyway, yeah. Yeah, to get something from that atmosphere, an astonishing result.
19 games since Celtic have won away in Europe in the group stages.
And 90th minute goal, wouldn't it, as well, from Samaras?
It was, yeah, Samaras, yeah. So, fair play to him.
Yeah, I got a mate who I played football with who was
ever in the Champions League. It's really good.
And Chelsea's looked very comfortable, but in reality, there was only 10 minutes left, wasn't it?
So, at 1-0, there was a couple of very good chances for...
You knew who they were playing, you just didn't know how to say it, so you hoped someone would swipe in about it.
That's going to annoy me as well. It's knowledge is a bomb and all that. Their geezer up front, I can't remember, it's like Rob Robson or whatever his name. What's the
Rob Robson?
Probably Rob Robson plays up
front. Yeah, him. But he looked tasty. He's caused Chelsea a lot of trouble at the back, and
Rob Robson, I'll get him on Football Manager. Rob Robson.
Isn't that what people call Bobby Robson?
It's something ridiculous like that.
I'll give you my standout performances from last night. Aldershot Town playing away at Torquay. After 47 minutes, they were 3-0 up. The game finished 4-3 to Torquay. So as we started the show with comebacks of 1999, that was a comeback from last night. To be 3-0 down at home against Aldershot. Aldershot aren't a great team, and Torquay are quite good at home. Rene Howe's a massive bit. He used to be at Peterborough. He was on loan at Gills. He scored the winner in the 89th minute, and they were still losing as well with 5 minutes left, and got an equaliser and a winner. But to be 3-0 down at home and come back to that, my stand down is the referee from the Bury versus Carlisle game in League One.
Postponed it
at 6:30, and he'd apparently done 5 pitch inspections.
Really.
Carlisle to Manchester is not an easy trek.
No, exactly.
It's not an easy trek at all.
It's not easy
To be fair to the referee, if he's done five pitch inspections, he's probably really wanted the game to go ahead and play.
Yeah, but
bear in mind the fact that people are travelling from Cumbria down to Manchester.
Yeah, but if you do an inspection at 2 o'clock and it's not looking okay enough for the game to definitely be on, and you look at the weather report, right, it's going to carry on pissing down for the next 4 or 5 hours. It's not that hard, is it?
To be fair, if he's in Bury, then he should probably, he don't need to look at the weather report. He's going to piss it down for the next 5 hours.
Yeah,
but.
You should be able to tell.
I sympathise with him.
And to be honest, it might not have been the match referee that did the early inspections, because quite often they'll get a local FA referee in to look at the ground.
Yeah, he's not going to turn up until the match referee turns up.
No. But then he still did at least two inspections, but half six is ridiculous.
If it's Mark Alty, arguably he's not going to turn up at all.
Oh, come on.
Hey, I liked his decisions. I'm
so happy that's my standout.
Standout performance of the week. I don't think we've mentioned him so far this season. Charlie Austin last night.
Yeah, he's absolutely doing it.
He's absolutely flying. He now has 13 goals in 11 games so far this season. Yeah,
it's not bad, is it?
10-8 in the league.
Didn't get him a win though, because Antonio, who we talked about on one of the earlier shows, he scored in like with 5 minutes left, and then the other guy went up the other end.
Sheffield Wednesday had about 16 chances last night,
and they needed that as well, because they were going through a really it was the worst managerial spell of Dave Jones's career.
Really,
I think he went through a worse spell at Southampton back in the day.
Well,
when he had to leave
on the pitch. On the pitch, apparently his worst sequence of results. So really good point for them, to be fair.
Can I start referring to Charlie Austin as Stone Cold Charlie Austin? Does anyone have a problem with that?
No, that's fine.
Brilliant.
I think new nickname, I like that.
He only had three chances in the whole game, Charlie
drinking
Austin.
Who?
Stone Cold Charlie Austin.
Thank you, better. If anyone refers to him with not his full title from now on, drinking forfeit.
Right. And that's the bottom line, because Jim Staples said so.
Okay, what about stand down?
Probably QPR. I was hoping Steve was going to be here.
I've got them as a stand down. I've got Mark Hughes as a stand down, actually.
You think he should stand down?
We will never be in this position again.
To be fair, apparently they're at the bottom. So
apparently at the moment, Stu is watching the Finballs. I don't know what his kid's doing now.
She's back next week.
I said, I know it's early doors, but I said QPR, my banker, to go down. And you all poo-pooed it. You poo-pooed it, and they are looking terrible.
I still think they'll survive.
They'll change the manager.
Strikers, midfielders, they've got a good squad there. So
they've got strikers, they've got midfielders, they've got goalkeepers, they've got everything.
They've got everything they need.
They've got all the players. They can put 11 out, that's brilliant. The guy Samba that came on as well did a bit. Two reckless challenges. The second one was just. You could tell he was going for the ball. It was no maliciousness in it, but it was so.
Tarabat scoring with 80 seconds of coming on the
pitch. Not a bad strike at all. But the thing is, he's obviously. I don't know if he's fallen out of Hughes, but I could eventually see him going out on loan to Leeds. Warnock, because I don't think he's going to start playing him unless the new manager, because I think there will be a new manager coming in. They've said today that his job's safe, but they've also said that he does need to improve results.
We mug Jay off when he said that, didn't he?
He does tweet a lot. Joey Barton tweeted that Jimmy Savile was a nonce. Did you see that? He called him a nonce.
I'll get on a Joey Barton in a minute.
Yeah, the squad they've got, and even the team that they play was on the bench. They had enough off the bench, like firepower off the bench to come off. I think eventually Hughes will lose.
He's got a great record.
They haven't had an easy start as well. That is worth saying. And West Ham are now in the top. I think they're seventh. But level in the top six as well. They look dangerous. And Matty Jarvis just got the ball.
And Cowell's back.
He gets crosses in from the left, from the right. He cuts inside most of the time. But if he does go down the left, he can get balls in. Andy Carroll actually looked quite good when he came on as well.
Yeah. Well, he was an absolute monster the game he got injured, wasn't he?
Yeah.
West Ham deserve praise. They definitely look good this season.
To be fair to
Matty Jarvis as well, he got a lot of stick because he got transferred for $10.75 million.
He doesn't make the fee, does he?
Yeah, if he fits into that team and does all right.
He
keeps him up, then
that's
the money's worth it.
I think Matty Jarvis is a good player.
Roy Hodgson was at the game as well on Monday night. I wouldn't be surprised to see Matty Jarvis back in the England squad.
Mark Noble is a shout as well. He's been playing really well this season.
Aaron Lennon as well. Aaron Lennon as well. And I think that's
the
fair.
Forgotten
Lennon. No, I think he's fair because he's had a very, very good start to the season.
I just thought you were just bringing it back to Spurs while we're talking about West Ham players. He don't play for West Ham.
Well, if you were keeping up, Michael, we were talking about people coming back into England frame, but never mind.
Bringing it back down to the Football League quickly, a couple of news. Jimmy Billard, RIP.
No, footballing no,
career.
Jim. No,
well,
no,
from
Jim.
His footballing career.
Yes, yeah. No, Sean. No.
Well, from his so league. Happy. What's he going to play? Yeah. Non-league?
Well, yeah. But a couple of days ago, yeah. It was a very, very sad day for football, especially. I think Jimmy Bullard, one of the legends of football. Maybe not for his talent, but for his character.
Okay, then rephrase it. One of the characters of the game, rather than one of the legends of the game.
Hang on.
Go on.
Well, I learned to describe that. Yeah. Funny enough, if you let, I said that. What are you high fiving him for? I said it.
Sorry.
No, for his character, brilliant. Love him. But it was announced this morning, I think, that he's now become the new player coach at Holland FC.
Holland FC.
He
never got
the
an
Essex and Kent border league. Yeah. And he's going to play about 3-4 times a year for him.
That's what
a family
he
friend.
Said. He'd seen the physio, and the physio said, you can't do Saturday, Tuesday. And if he did, he probably wouldn't be able to walk in about 10 years' time. So it's made the right decision. But I'm sure he could go on the pitch and he'll be the best player on the pitch for quite a few years to come.
Holland FC should keep an eye out because another legend that we reported on the other week has retired, and this genuine legend of European football. Unfortunately,
Collins John at Barnet.
Unfortunately, Jerome is waving a piece of paper at me, so I'll let him talk about it.
Oh, Michael Banner. We thought he was probably going to
West Sydney Wanderers.
I've got a massive needle, by the way, but I'll come on to that. Go on, finish.
But he's actually retired from international football.
But you're not that happy, are you, about football?
After 17 years at Bayern, Chelsea.
Bayern Leverkusen.
Bayern Chelsea, I've not heard of them. They must
Bayern
be new.
Munich. Okay. Chelsea.
Learn to describe better.
That's what Roman Abramovich said in 2003. I'm buying Chelsea.
Michael,
hey! I'm having that again.
Why does people keep falling for that?
He's retired.
Yeah, okay.
He's gone. Anyway.
Back down to the Football League, so I've got one more point.
Who's my stand-up performance of the week? Thanks for asking, Jim. I'm really glad you got there.
All right, okay, go on.
Oh, I think it's Tottenham Hotspur.
Boring.
Who's my stand-down? Hang on, what's fucking stand-down as well?
Go on, who's Tottenham United's defence?
No, Brighton, actually. The last week, they lost at 1-0 at home to Birmingham.
Ipswich took a point off them at home.
That's right.
Which is quite a big thing.
They lost 1-0 at home to Birmingham, who bearing in mind got thumped, I think,
5-0 by
Barnsley, and then we thumped them 4-0.
Yeah, but it's a crazy league. Right, okay,
you can't have two teams.
No.
You can't call Brighton and be a Spurs fan.
No, you
I think he's trying to call Brighton and we the way they played this week.
I didn't say we.
Let him go on.
Anyway, no, the point is, so they lost 1-0 at home to Birmingham, and they drew last night 1-0 with Ipswich. Two games that really should have been 3 points in the bag. They were top, and they've now dropped the third. It's a bit harsh considering they're third in the Championship, still doing very well. But the last week's performance is definitely stand down, should have done better.
Okay.
Can I just say, I reckon about three people are still listening now, and one of them will be my mum, and she's coming down the week and say, Mum, yeah, bring a quilt down, that'd be great, cheers.
What?
Well, there's only three people left listening, so I might as well send a message out to me mum while we're here. It's easier than phoning,
so
isn't it?
So why has everyone stopped listening?
Because we're all just shouting a bit.
Well, we do that every week, mate.
Yeah.
They're used to it. It's what they like.
People like shouting.
Talking about the Championship, the fact that Barnsley did Birmingham 5-0.
Yeah. Barnsley had done...
this is what I meant.
Yeah. Exactly. Barnsley. 5-1.
Birmingham go to Brighton and get a result 1-0. And then last night, Barnsley got done 2-0 at home to Peterborough.
Yeah.
Peterborough don't keep clean sheets. They do score a few, but they just don't keep clean sheets.
Speaking of that game, well played, one of my naughty boys of the week. Have you heard about this? The referee that was supposed to ref that game.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this?
The Barnsley Peterborough game.
Yes. Dean Maharib. He was supposed to be reffing last night's game. But he'd been dropped after being arrested on suspicion of email hacking.
Yeah.
Whose emails was he hacking?
He's supposed to have hacking the email account of his FA colleague, Keith Hackett, I believe it is. And,
Keith Hackett is the head of referees.
That's just an invitation.
I believe it was actually Jamie Frampton who recently got sacked for giving away tickets in exchange for upgrades on BA flights.
Is this the same story?
Same story, yeah. Though, to be fair, Robbie Earls just sold on those tickets.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So, hang on.
So, what's happened? So, the guy's been suspended, has he? Or?
Yeah, well, it's pending further investigation. He's been arrested on suspicion of email hacking. So, he's just one of my naughty boys of the week.
How's that a crime, the email hacking?
It's personal information. It's like opening someone's letter. It's a crime.
What sort of world do we live in?
Where you're not allowed to, with laws.
Who can honestly say they've not been on the mate's Facebook when it's been left open and sent a little message
not
about
quite the same,
slightly different.
Yeah,
but Jim loves cock. Yeah, for the 17th time this
it's
year.
It's fine when it's true. Bournemouth as well. We saw today that the Bournemouth manager has left his position.
We were talking
about him the other day because obviously Harry Redknapp came in there and got a win to the away game that he went with. You know, one at Yeovil, I think, if I'm right. But they lost last night 3-0 at Crawley.
But he's disassociated himself from Harry.
Leicester. Leicester is the new one.
He wants to come back to a big club.
He wants
apparently.
The Bournemouth job, probably, by the side of it. He's gone in there as director of football, and the manager's gone after him.
And while we're talking about Leicester quickly, guys, they came on Sky Sports News earlier on. We were all in the office. Yeah. The two goals by their lads. Nokua or something like that. I'd never.
Was that the backflip?
Yes.
Yeah. I saw that when I was down.
Two fantastic goals.
That was back flick, not back flip. Anyone, because I'm learning to describe that.
Good work, Dan.
They played away at Huddersfield, and Huddersfield were like in the playoff positions. They won 2-0, and this lad in the first half a left foot rocket from outside the area, and in the second half it was a great little flying move. And how would you describe it?
The scorpion.
Pretty much, the standing scorpion.
Yeah. Thanks, mate.
His name is Knockert. I think he's French.
Oh yeah, Knockert. He's Belgian, I think.
Knockert. Okay, Belgium. Same thing. Yeah.
How good are the young Belgian players these days?
Where do you get these Belgian players from?
Where
are these Belgian players coming from? Somebody tell me. Probably Belgium.
Yeah.
Somebody tell me as well. It was in a pub quiz the other day. Scottish team playing the Premier League, playing Orange.
Dundee United.
No, wasn't them.
Motherwell.
Yeah, she's fine, thanks, Dan. Cheers, mate. Thanks for asking.
Oh, you've done that one before.
If you refer to show number 42, I believe that same joke would have been as well.
It's interesting, though, actually, because I've got a naughty boy related to Dundee United who play in Orange.
Hang on, okay, we'll come on to that. Pubcast listeners, right? If you're ever bored on a Sunday afternoon and there's no football on, just go into your address book and just text everyone that you know likes football in your address book. Just say, Scottish team playing Orange, begins with M, ? And nine out of every 10 of your mates will just text back Motherwell. They'll be happy, and you can just text back, yeah, she's fine, thanks. And then just copy and paste that and just send it back to whoever reply you get with Motherwell.
How to lose
hours
friends.
Of fun.
Hours of fun.
I guarantee a lot of people do. And if you do
it. You used to have a lot of friends.
He's got the four of us, and we don't even like him.
If you do it, tweet us at Football Pubcast and tell us how many if you were successful and how many you got. Right, we will go on to Naughty Boys.
Dundee United.
The dancer was very disappointed that he got fooled by that.
I know. Yeah. I was disappointed.
A little bit. I was quite chuffed that I remembered what that team that played in Orange.
I saw in his eyes as soon as he said it. He was like, "No." I don't even know. Are they still in the Premier League?
I went from joy.
I went from joy to elation.
I was doing that for a link. We have got Jerome giving us a Scottish Football League update.
So I've got a Dundee United notebook. Well, these days you get editions of Monopoly other than just the normal one.
Chav Monopoly.
Exactly. That's an example. Well done, Dan.
It's just come out.
You've just come out. I don't know. You've thrown me off now. But there's a Dundee edition.
Good.
There's a Dundee edition, and it's raised controversy because... Do you know about Tannadice and Dens Park, the two grounds? They're on the same round.
Very, very close.
Well, Tannadice has been valued as 20 Monopoly pounds more expensive than Dens Park.
I like that.
So they've been put in the pink, so I think it's Pall Mall and Northumberland Avenue or something. And it's caused lots of things. One fan said, it's great that Tannadice is up for sale. We've been waiting for years for them to build houses on it. But apparently it was decided by, I'm going to assume, Mr. Monopoly, who creates all the Monopoly games and also controls the money, apparently by the roll of a dice, because they had that much a problem with fans saying, no, Dundee are more popular, Dundee United are more popular. Dundee United are arguably more successful, but Dundee have arguably got a bigger fan base. And they rolled the dice and decided on Tannadice, but it's caused a major division in the city of Dundee.
Who's your actual naughty boy for this?
Mr. Monopoly. Yeah, I think he should be sent right to jail. I think he shouldn't pass go and collect £200. I think he's been in trouble. I do have another naughty boy as well. Romeo Beckham. What happened to kids obeying their parents?
Because he's actually getting really angry.
Apparently, Brooklyn and Cruz, both United fans. Romeo is an Arsenal fan. Apparently, Arsenal fan gave him a shirt.
Leave that there.
But apparently, yeah, Romeo is an Arsenal fan.
I am,
and I have a good boy, but we'll go on to that later.
I'm going to just round up a little bit, a few little bits of news that some of you would have seen, some of you might not have done.
Is this better anything to do with the naughty boys?
No, we're going back onto naughty boys in a minute. Pardew, 8-year deal.
Oh, right.
I like that.
You like that, do you?
I like that.
Really?
And I also like Derek Lambius.
He actually
talks a real lot of sense. He was at the
end. He had an interview
in the paper, but one of the things he was talking about is bringing the transfer window forward to the start of the season. He basically said that the transfer window going until September, isn't it? It's the 1st of September, August. That only benefits the bigger clubs because there's loads of speculation about the smaller teams, not even the smaller teams, like Spurs, about like.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it does just affect the smaller club. I think it affects the.
It's more the players that are going to bigger clubs. That's what he was making out. Like, obviously, Newcastle with Demba Ba and Cisse and all the speculation around some of their players. I think even Colatrini was linked with other people. He said, bring it forward to the start of the season so you don't have that whole month where people are playing games and they don't know if their players are going to be going. I never thought of it like that.
I agree, but if I can play devil's advocate, the problem is that, one, the transfer window across Europe vaguely ends at the same time. It's a few days different.
True.
You'd have to ensure all leagues started at the same time. And at the same time, it doesn't allow for, if you do get early season injuries, because players aren't at full match fitness. I know they've done pre-season, but it's very easy to get someone...
No, you're very right. There's definitely
the Man United fan against. Speaks the
I'd happily see it at the start of the season.
Yeah, but no, I just thought it was interesting. He spoke a lot of sense in the interview. Keane out.
Yeah.
Obviously, we Keane have to mention that.
Didn't see that one coming.
What, Roy Keane?
There's a few people linked.
There's another one on the shortlist. Oliver Solskjaer as well.
Which I find ridiculous because he turned down the Villa job in the summer.
That's what I was about to say as well. That's ridiculous. He turned down Villa job because of the Norwegian
gangsters. Oh, I'm waiting for Blackburn. They've got fire.
No, but then again, maybe he didn't think he was ready for Villa. Maybe he didn't think he was ready for a Premier League team. Maybe he think he's ready.
I mean, he's got whoever goes in there's going to have got decent bases.
Who else is on the shortlist?
Alan Shearer and Tim Sherwood.
But has Sherwood actually distanced himself? Because ABB's been very coy on it.
Is Jeff Kenner in the running as well?
What is ABB after it? You said he's been very coy on it. Is he?
Stuart Ripley, anyone?
Yeah. No? Stuart Ripley was a legend.
Seven Portuguese players at Blackburn now as well. They signed a young goalkeeper from Portugal under-17, under-18 international.
Portuguese players come from?
Where do they all come from? Belgium.
David James is at Bournemouth. Yeah. If I see that, he picked up a contract.
And conceded.
Picked two goals out of the net.
Yeah.
Steve Gerrard, I watched the second episode of the Liverpool documentary. Wasn't as funny as the first one, I've got to be honest, but it was still very entertaining. Steve Gerrard made a very good point about youth players coming through the youth ranks now these days. He said, you've got to remember there's so much pressure because of... particularly with Liverpool this season, they've got Sterling coming through. Who's the other guy that they've offered a new deal to?
Suso.
He said, you've got to appreciate, when I came through at Liverpool, when I made my debut, no one had heard of me. No one knew who Steve Gerrard was, apart from obviously like a few real hardcore fans.
Yeah, people who played Football Manager. Apart
from maybe people that would go and watch, but it was quite, remember how far ago? Yeah. Now he's saying that because these games are on TV, like we were talking about the Premier League, Development League and what have you, Liverpool TV, MUTV, everyone knows about these players coming through. They know who the next big thing is.
People follow him on Twitter.
And he said it's completely different. And I was like, well, yeah, people are bastards. And I thought, oh, we've got a section called Hogwarts on the Football Podcast, which just bigs up like really, really young players as well. But I just thought it was very interesting that he just said, you've got to appreciate they've got so much pressure on them coming through. Not that long ago, 5-6 years ago, it was completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different. So I thought that was worth pointing out. Also, I listened to some of the game on Monday night. I was having a bath, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so I put the radio on.
Radox?
No, it was just on my own. John Motson.
That doesn't mean you can't have candles and Radox.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. John Motson was the commentator on Radio 5 Live.
Oh, really?
Really good to hear his voice. Oh, to the point where my mate was like, is that Motson? I was like, yeah. He went,
Hang on. Let me just stop.
Wait.
Thanks, boys. I'm really glad we all picked up on that.
He was like, he was lighting the candles for me.
Lovely. Oh, Stapes. Romantic bath for two.
Two other things for me, then I'll let someone else talk. Dean Cox scored from the halfway, in his own half last night at Walsall. Did you see it?
And so did the other geezer. One of the guys tweeted us the video.
McCauley.
What a finish that was. Inside the centre circle in the opposition's half. The ball's come down. I'm sure he thought, yeah, why not hit it from here? I think 45 yards
out. I think the keeper might have slipped or something like that. And the Walsall one, if anyone watches it, it's quite interesting because there was a... there was a player injured down on the floor. I think it was one of their own players. I think it was an Orient player, but it was down on the floor. So I was thinking, oh, maybe the keeper was thinking, well, he's not going to shoot or he might give the ball back. It didn't. He just pinged it over. Great goal. Absolutely great goal. And also thank you to Funky Carrick on Twitter, who sent us last night a picture of Adrian Charles like a scotched egg.
Yes.
If anyone saw that.
Yeah, so I like that.
Cheers for that, mate.
I'm trying to picture that. Was it Adrian Charles's head wrapped in pork and bread?
No, it was a scotch egg.
Sorry, it was a picture of a fried egg with a face in it and then a picture of Adrian Charles.
So it wasn't a scotch egg, it was a fried egg?
Fried egg. Yeah. It was a picture of a fried egg with a face in it and Adrian Charles, and it was obviously the name under the fried egg was Adrian Charles and the name under the scotch egg.
Oh, yeah, lookalikes. Yeah. Sounds good.
It was
good. Sounds good. I've got a good boy of the week.
Really?
Miroslav Klose, Germany legend.
Yes. Oh, I did see this.
Playing for Lazio these days. They were playing Napoli. It was 0-0. He scored, but he handled the ball.
Yeah.
And he asked for it to be disallowed.
Really?
Yeah.
Lazio. They compared him to the.
Yeah, to Canio. And yeah.
He obviously didn't do that. Handled the ball into the back of the net.
But. The bad thing was Lazio went on to lose 3-0.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
So fair play to Klose for that honest act. But at the same time, if someone did that to your team, would you be a bit pissed off that you lost 3-0?
You'd definitely be.
I'd be proud.
You'd be pissed off.
I wouldn't be pissed off with the player.
There'd be part of you that would be pissed off.
Because it was 0-0 at the time.
I don't want my players to cheat.
Which is
hard being a United fan, yeah. But you need to get out of Ashley.
No, if you were 3-0 down at the time, then you'd be like, fair enough. A bit like, I'm not going to reference the goal for the weekend. Which, if you're down and out, hand it over. Fair enough. But at 0-0. And a game that, you know, what if Lazio lose the league by like a point?
Yeah. Then at least they've played in the right way, because who wants to win by cheating?
I don't agree with it. I'm just saying, who's to say
that that goal would have made a difference? Who's to say that Napoli would have won 3-1?
But it might have done.
I completely agree that it was a really good thing. I'd be more angry with my defence if I was a Lazio fan for conceding.
If I was a Lazio fan, I'd probably be more angry with ethnic minorities. They're all a bunch of fascists.
But going back to you, just mentioned Ashley Young Stapes. Another good boy. Of the week.
I don't think I was supposed to mention it.
I completely disagree as well. We had a rant about it in the office. But the whole point is. But it's still a nice thing to do, but I don't think it's something that needs to be celebrated in a newspaper. But a young 8-year-old boy got knocked by a car, I think, or was it an accident.
Knocked over, or just knocked, the car insulted him.
No.
Took some money off him.
Yeah. But Ashley Young stopped and helped out the little kid, the 8-year-old kid on the side of the road, because he needed some help. Which, you know, I don't think it needs to be reported in a national newspaper, but at the end of the day, it was still a nice thing for him to do.
The problem is...
Balotelli would have done that better, though. Balotelli would have...
When the policeman came over, Ashley Young went down clutching his face, didn't he?
But speaking of Balotelli...
Have you read the book?
No, 2 weeks I had. We're doing some good linkage today. Balotelli described himself as the Jimi Hendrix of football.
Excellent.
Have you seen this?
Because he likes to set fire to things.
I'm just like Jimi Hendrix, but on a football pitch.
Okay, that is good. Right, players giving themselves quotes. Right, I've got some Ibrahimovic quotes.
Are these from his app?
I don't know. I can't remember where I got them from. Someone just give me a number, 1 to 15. I've got 15 of them. 7. I'll go with 7. Lionel Messi is awesome. He's unbelievable, but I don't really know him. We are totally different. He came to Barcelona as a 13-year-old. He raised in that culture and has problems with the school. With that school shit, for some reason. In the term, the players all around him, pretty natural actually. He's brilliant, but now I'd arrived at Barcelona and scored more goals than him. This is from his book. Give me another number, someone.
14.
He's talking about Pep Guardiola. Then Guardiola started his philosopher thing.
That's, I was barely three. Listening.
Why would I? It was advanced bullshit about blood, sweat and tears, that kind of stuff. Just mugging off his manager, calling
him.
Can we
have number three now?
Yeah, absolutely. On the reports of excessive behaviour following Juventus' 2005 title win, he said, it was the fault of David Trezeguet, who made me do one drink of vodka after another. I slept in the bathtub. Now I hold my vodka much better.
What do you mean you didn't fall over with it?
This one is why it got me thinking about it. Number 15. When asked about Mario Balotelli's recent tomfoolery, I like fireworks too, but I set them off in gardens or kebab stands. I never set fire to my own house.
Hang on. Or kebab stands.
Standard. Who hasn't
been? I set them off in... This is what it says. I set them off in gardens or kebab stands.
You don't know your numbers, but you can read your words. Yeah. So that's to be commended.
I love Ibrahimovic.
He's just brilliant.
I'm sure we talked about it before. On his app, you can buy for 13 euros, by the way. On his app, every one of his tattoos, he tells the story behind it. On his app,
I hope every one of those stories got pissed. So I was having shot after shot of vodka.
Can I just give you two more really quick ones? One is just quite simply, an injured Zlatan is a pretty serious thing for any team. He said that about himself, and
in
then
the third person.
Yeah, him talking about he met Jose Mourinho. So Jose Mourinho is a big star. He's cool. The first time he met my wife, he whispered to her, Helena, you have only one mission. Feed Zlatan, let him sleep, keep him happy. That's the guy says what he wants. I like him.
That's three missions.
Speaking of idiots,
perfect.
I thought you were going to say Carl Lawson then, because I got in trouble with that last week. Yeah,
no, leave it.
He's not an idiot.
Leave it. Sorry, Carl.
He's a good lad, Carl.
Really good lad.
Yeah, he didn't like me at first, but I think he's warmed to me since I offered to buy a Jamaica shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good lad.
I'd warn you if you offered to buy me a shirt.
Right. No, it was for me.
In no relation to Mr. Carl Lawson at all, speaking of idiots that say stupid things, Joey Barton is in this week.
Right, okay.
Joey Barton's come out, he said, I think it was an interview about, with Marseille. Please judge me on my on-field performance. It's difficult because of my bad reputation. I find it a bit unfair. The stories are like Hollywood, far from the truth.
Yeah, really,
are they, Joey? Yeah. Are they, Joey? Let's just look at some of this rap sheet, are we? Shall we? We're getting done for stubbing a cigar out in someone's face. You've been in prison. You've slapped a 15-year-old. You've been arrested on suspicion of assault on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
You've been jailed for 6 months. You've had a 4 month suspended sentence for assaulting Darbo. You're currently serving a 12-match suspension for trying to headbutt one geezer and knee another geezer in the balls. I mean, really,
it
Joey?
It does sound like a pretty good film, to be fair.
No, you're right. As a Hollywood film goes, it's probably not a bad shout. But how on earth Joey Barton thinks he can... It's all a bit unfair. I don't really know.
You right, Jerome, this is your moment.
He's perfect. I was
quite aware this week that we haven't talked about the Scottish Football League that much, so just give us a little overview of what's happening up there. Because I know Motherwell are absolutely doing a bit, aren't they?
They are. They were top of the league last week, I think.
That's not even a wind-up. They actually are.
They're second now.
They played Rangers, didn't they, the other day in the cup game? They were top. Yeah, I know that, yeah.
Which Rangers?
In a cup game.
Oh, sorry.
The Rangers.
How are they getting on, by the way? I will talk about that.
I'll get to that. Sorry, mate.
This is why it's a good section.
Right, yeah.
So Motherwell were top, and they're at second at the moment in the Champions League places, so it's quite good. But Celtic, of course, probably going to win the title anyway. So
and they got. Yeah. Oh, no, they haven't got a game in hand. No.
They had a game in hand,
but no, they haven't.
They have got a game in hand as well.
They have got a game in hand.
A point ahead in the game in hand. So.
It's against Dundee United,
who are second from bottom, and Dundee is bottom with
not looking good for the Dundee.
4 points.
Boys,
no,
has Cobson gone?
Yes.
We have a deserter. Yeah.
No wins at home and one win away. So that's pretty bad for the SPL of Dundee. Partick Thistle, who are storming.
Absolutely smashing it.
Storming.
They've drawn one.
Who, not interesting for our leaders, but you know, one of the girls, Chrissy, that works in Classified, her little brother's on the books for them.
Okay, cool.
Striker, apparently. Not a bad little player.
So they've won all four of their games at home.
They've only drawn one.
One away.
Drawn one away.
And 1-2. They've got 19 points. But also Dunfermline on 18 points as well, flying. with Dumbarton at the bottom of that league with 1 point.
Miserable. Yeah.
They tend Scottish leagues tend to have someone right at the bottom that's absolutely awful. But then again, most of the football
Queen of the South, well. Top of the second division.
How many points by?
By 3 points.
3 points. Unless it's a 5 point lead at the top of the league, then they're not Gillingham.
No.
Just wanted to get it in there.
Queen's Park is top by a point in the third division, with Stirling at the bottom.
That's 5 points. So in first place, Queen's Park. Followed by Rangers.
who've won all their home games and not won away, drawn three away actually. Yeah.
The Rangers aren't even top. They're not even top.
I guess every single away game for Rangers is like a cup final for the home team.
Yeah.
Well, this is what we were saying, weren't we? Every team in that division, as soon as they play Rangers, even whether it's home or away, but especially when the Rangers go away, they're going to up their game in front of their home fans, aren't they?
Exactly.
I've got a little bit of a... Well, it's not Hogwarts because he's actually professional now. He plays for Celtic, but he's 18-year-old Tony Watt.
Oh, he's been scoring a few,
He scored on his debut as a substitute. He scored on his full debut as well, so he's got two goals. He came from Airdrie United in January of 2011.
Where's he from? He's born in Scotland, yeah?
Yes, he was born in Scotland. He was born in...
There's no relation to Tom Watt, is he?
Tom Watt? I don't know if there's any relation to Tom Watt. It's not mentioned on here.
No.
But bought him from Airdrie United for £80,000 in January.
And he's
the big hit, the big new star in Scotland. So keep out.
How old is he?
He's 18.
Just 18 and he's second club already.
Second club already, yeah. He's only had sort of...
30.
Has he played for the Scotland like youth teams?
Yeah, under 19s, under 20s, and under 21s as well. Scored like three goals.
He'll be getting a call up soon. If he's playing for Celtic, then he's going to be in the.
Look out for him as well.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm finished.
Speaking of other leagues, the A League. It's been obviously I haven't been around a couple of weeks in the last few weeks, so it's been a bit neglected.
We've missed you,
Dan. Apologise. Thanks, mate. It's good to be around again, but. Well, the big news is that it kicks off this Friday.
Excellent.
Eskies in the league.
Yeah, that's not big news.
Sold out shirts, I've been told by
Yeah, apparently they have sold out
Newcastle
shirts.
Newcastle had to order another
batch of Heskies
shirts.
This was exactly going to be my question to you. Now, but the point is, the match that kicks off the A-League on Friday is the Melbourne Derby.
Is it?
Victory against Hart. Now, I don't know, obviously.
Me and Shawnee watched a few of their games last season, and I was getting really into
it. If we go with Western Sydney Warriors, it'll really, really piss off Jess from our FFW.
That is a massive positive.
It is a huge positive.
She'll start pointing fingers everywhere.
Yeah, but there's no way that she's going to be coming back over anytime soon, so I'm not really scared. Because she can't really do a lot from Australia.
That's tempting fate.
Possibly. But it would be great, band, and they're a new team, and we haven't really stuck with a team to follow before, have we? And I just don't know.
So we'll make a decision, and in our 100th show next week, our centennial show, we'll announce the big announcement will be who we're supporting for the season. Might even have a drum roll.
Big news for Western Sydney Warriors. Warriors, I keep saying Warriors. Why do I keep saying Warriors? Wanderers. Is that they've signed their big signing for the season is Shinjo Ono, is the ex-Feyenoord and Japanese international midfielder.
When he was at Feyenoord, I thought he was going to get a move to a Premier League
club,
Feyenoord are a big club, sure.
Yeah, of course they are.
He's their big signing. But obviously, so you've got the likes of Del Piero, you've got Heskey in there, you've got Ono. I think this will be probably one of the biggest seasons so far for the A-League. I think it's going to have the most eyes on it. And
Cahill was on, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Did you say him?
No, I didn't, actually.
Tim Cahill, I'm really interested to see how he gets on.
Yeah.
But,
I thought he went to America.
Red Bulls, he did.
Yeah, ignore that.
He did, he went to New York Red Bulls.
Yeah,
he went to pre-season with... You meant Dave Cahill. Dave Cahill.
No, I said Tim. But I focused it with the heart, but we'll move on to that. Right, a little bit of housekeeping for you.
Last little one, sorry.
Go on.
Devastating news for England. I mean, we've dropped the fifth in the rankings. Can you believe it?
Devastating.
Devastating. But yeah, I think it's still too
Hodgson out.
Still too generous, isn't it?
Never mind. Right, email us banter@footballpubcast.co.uk. We're on Facebook, www.facebook.com/thefootballpubcast. Complaints as ever.
At Simon Head.
Always the same.
Simon Head.
iTunes. Give us an iTunes review and we'll give you a mention.
Yeah.
We've got another one.
Yeah.
This is from Play-Doh 24. I like the name as well.
You nearly made me know Jay Spit.
Well, you've made Jay Spit. So, was recommended this podcast after listening to Football Ramble. Great listen, just a bunch of mates talking footy with no bullshit. Now, I don't agree with that.
Hey, a lot
we are all about bullshit.
A lot of bullshit.
But thanks for that. In brackets, sorry, don't know their names. Keep up the good work. 5 stars, boom. Thank you very much.
Are we at like a 4.5 star average rating now?
Must be. Yeah,
we've got 34 ratings, and yeah, 4.5.
4.5 stars. That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not funny. Thanks, we're good.
No, who said no? Well, yeah, we're alright, aren't we?
We do what we do, and we're happy with that. So yeah, follow us on Twitter @footballpubcast. And follow us on Twitter, there you'll see all the sharp dates, everything we blog, all the videos we retweet. Get on there, that's the thing to do.
Shameless Twitter plug. Don't forget to follow @theboysilver. Yes.
That will not be the last thing we say.
We used to do that.
Last week, everyone got a free cat if they listened as well. I don't know if you saw that tweet.
A free cat?
Yeah. Go back, you'll see.
That lost us a few followers.
It lost us about 30 followers, yeah, instantly. I put a picture of a dick. We'll move on. We'll talk about this as we get the next party. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.